Welcome to another installment of the I & Am podcast with me, your host, Amkela Amiambekeni Kapanen. I'm very excited to introduce today's guest here on I & Am. It's been a great pleasure and honor to finally meet him and talk about a myriad of topics. His name is Bongeziwe Mabandla. Bongeziwe is a Johannesburg-based musical artist born in Kutsolo in the Eastern Cape province of South Africa. His music has traveled across the oceans and all over the globe to reach new audiences. In 2018, he won the award for Best Alternative Music Album in the most prestigious music awards in South Africa, the SAMAs, the SAMA Awards. And of course, he's also got a list of other awards that he's won from all over the world. Our paths first crossed some 6 years ago after the release of his first album, Umlilo. It was in the early stages of his musical journey, and I was so captivated by his first offering that I decided to write a piece on his experiences at the time. Fast forward a couple of years later, on my way to South Africa, on one of my visits back home, Bongeziwe and I would bump into each other at the airport in Port Elizabeth, PE, by what felt or seemed like sheer coincidence, and of course, with the help of social media, courtesy of my husband. So it was really lovely to see him then, and totally unexpected. And most recently, in fact, a few months ago, Bongeziwe was invited to perform at the Womex Festival in Tampere, Finland. And this is where we had this entertaining and deeply moving conversation with him. Oh, Puti, welcome.
Thank you.
Happy to have you here. Finally, you've joined us.
Thank you so much. I know we spoke a lot about it, so...
We did, and finally we've made it happen.
Yeah.
The universe has made it happen. So, Satibani, we met quite a while ago, about 6 years ago. We came into each other's lives.
Yeah, about 6 years ago, yeah.
When Umlilo had just come out.
Yeah, and you'd written that article about, that wonderful article, yeah.
Thank you. I remember that it was the beginning of your journey. It was your debut album. Have you always known that you were going to become a musician?
No, not really. No, I didn't always know. I had a lot of other art interests. Mainly, I wanted to be a painter or a sketcher. But also really, really worked hard to become an actor. And that's what I was actually studying. Yeah. But I've always loved music.
Yes, yes. And you were saying at some point earlier on that it wasn't always obvious that music was going to be the thing that you did, but certain sequences of events in your schooling life led you to being a musician.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I grew up loving art and loving music. I remember, I think though, where I come from in South Africa, that's everybody like loves music, and everybody uses music as a way of escaping, I would say. So I was definitely that kid, like playing with my cousins and playing concerts and then doing the concert when my mother and them arrive, and definitely spent a lot of hours in the mirror with the roll on. But you know, yeah, it was a hobby for me, and that's how I really got into music. It was really just doing something I enjoyed doing and wanted to do more of, and for me it was really playing.
Yeah. And at what point did you decide or realize that it could be something more than playing, something professional?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was in first year, I stayed at this boarding house, and then I had my first computer, and I was trying to record myself and writing songs, really playing again, like just play. And one day he said, "Yo, dude, one day you're gonna be a big star." But I never really, your music's so amazing, and I never took it. But I did have people tell me, you know, I think you have a strong possibility to be a musician. But I think what really changed my mind is when I met Paolo from 340 Mill, who started working on music, and we worked on my demo. And afterwards, after like maybe a month of working on these songs, when we started making people listen to them, he called me aside. And he's not a very emotional guy. And he's like, "This music's really good, and we'd like to offer you a record deal to sign with us." I was like, yeah, I'm going to take this a little bit more seriously.
Wow.
And so Paolo is the one who discovered you.
I would say.
And when you released Un Lilo, it was while you were working together with them.
Yeah, he produced Un Lilo.
He produced Un Lilo.
Yeah.
Now, Un Lilo is my all-time favorite album, yeah. Bar none. I'm not just saying it because it's you, but actually it just really is. And I think a lot of it has to do with just how deeply emotional I found that album to be and how deeply touching it was. And the first time I heard it, I had to ask the question, like, what inspired this kind of emotion? It was like the language of pure emotion. What inspired that? At what stage in your life were you to be able to produce that kind of material?
Yeah, I've always been sort of the emo kid. And I remember people like, stop being so sensitive growing up. You're way too sensitive. And now, you know, I get paid to be sensitive.
Thank God for small mercies. What was going on?
What was going on in my life? I mean, I always felt, you know, I grew up without my father and with my mother raising me. And just being a young black South African, I had a lot of things that I was just dealing with from a young age, and also I was very attracted to music like Tracy Chapman. I think I've always loved music that can go inwards, so I always wanted to do the same, basically. And in my life, you know, at that time, I was trying to define myself. I was like 26, 27 when I was working on the album. So yeah, I was very serious. Like, I'm an artist.
You needed to be like that, yes. And when I first thought about writing about you and your work, and I was listening to your work, there was a sense of melancholy, you know, it was quite melancholic, there was a deep sadness, at least maybe it wasn't me, because if it resonated with me, that means there must have been something in me that resonated with something that you were expressing. And I remember coming across a quote by Dr. Cornel West, which says, blues is personal catastrophe, lyrically expressed. And I used to think, I thought that's so apt. It was like, I don't know if there was some catastrophe in your life or anything that has been difficult, that has caused you to dig that deep within yourself. But I know that album felt to me like there was something that was being expressed that would resonate with many people. And I remember the last line I wrote was that, no matter what language you speak, when you hear Wengeziwe's music, you will feel, or it will make you feel.
Yeah.
How did you find the reception to that album? And what was your expectation from it?
Well, I guess, yeah, I think there is a sadness to me, to my life. And not just sadness, there's happiness too, but yeah. Like, I do feel like I've dealt with things. Sometimes I guess, like, I thought I would I hide it well, or people don't see it. But I think a lot of people resonate with my music because of that, because I do try and really write from a genuine place and a true place. Every song of mine is really about something that makes me feel either very sad or very happy or very angry, or yeah. My expectation of the album, yeah, I mean, I was signed to Sony Music, like a big record deal, and yeah, I thought my career would go like other South African artists do. I thought I'm gonna release this record and I'm gonna be a superstar, and I was preparing myself for that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just felt that you would blow up, and everything was gearing towards that. And what did you discover? What was the reality versus the dream, right? Because we always have these dreams of how we see things will work out, how we want them, how we would like for them to work out. But oftentimes, obviously, in life, you discover the reality to be quite different. What was your discovery and what was your experience? What was that reality?
Yeah. I think it was a difficult time for me, because I had a lot of people saying, oh, your music's really amazing. you are great, you are destined for greatness. But my reality in my life wasn't that, you know. My life had changed very little, and I didn't understand, because I was at this record deal. It just didn't really pick up, but it did enough for me to carry on and to say, you know, I'm gonna write another album, which was a hard decision, because, like, imagine you working on a project and you feel like it's kind of failing. Do you again, like, start working on the next project again? But I did, because I always felt like I can't say I've always felt like I was a very talented musician, but I always believed that this is where I belong. Yes, I have maybe a lot to learn, but I feel like this is my life.
So did you grow? You must have grown from those, like, shattered illusions, whatever you had imagined or envisioned. When it didn't come to fruition, you probably had to learn to deal with that. How did that particular experience influence the next work that you would then do?
Yeah, it influenced in a very direct way, if I can say it. The whole album, actually, my Mangaliso album, is about that disappointment, and that's why it's so spiritual. I got so, like, so dark and so sad and so depressed that, you know, it came from that place. It came from trying to deal with that. Songs like Ndibuyile, it made me think a lot about God and who God is. Because, like, it was so bad. Like, the only thing I could do at that stage, from how I grew up, was to go to seek answers in something higher than me. I realized, like, I didn't want to use my cleverness anymore. And that's why I devoted myself to a lot of prayer. And that's what the album is about. Some of it, like, Wena. It's a prayer, like, Xandizinikela ndishiya ubumnyama ndifuna wena uyazi ubuyinto yonke kum. Things like that, because I was, like, in such a dark place and I didn't have anything, so I had to, like, really find something to kind of fall back on. Yeah.
My goodness. So it's as if, or it is actually, like, what felt like, I won't say failure, but something that hadn't succeeded the way you had hoped would succeed, it gave birth to something quite amazing, because Mangaliso was well received, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
What were the peoples, when they spoke to you about it, what is it that spoke to them or that resonated with them from Mangaliso?
I sometimes wonder. I find that people, like, also have a very personal touch with my song. Like, somebody would tell me, you know, I was going through something back in 2000 and so, and that song you did, Bawawam, so one I get a lot of Bawawam is one that I get. I think people find themselves in my music, I think. I think that we all, like, I think the theme about all my music is evolution, getting it better, you know, looking for love, looking for freedom, searching for that. And I think everybody's doing that. And then when it's in a record, people are like, that's me. And I felt it when I made Mangaliso. I thought, you know, this is not just me. Everyone is going to relate to this album. And they did, yeah.
Yes, and they did. We're speaking to Bongezi Rumabandla, singer-songwriter from South Africa. Speaking of evolution and evolving as an artist, can you notice in what ways you have evolved from whence you started?
Oh, wow.
Creatively.
Otherwise. Oh, yeah. Definitely, you know, I think I'm making better music now. I think Umlilo was the beginning, and, like, I was kind of a kid, and I've really progressed in that. You know, I've been taking some guitar lessons again, and I'm always trying to improve myself. And I think I've just evolved. Like, I didn't know much about the industry when I got in, so now, like, you know, I understand myself a little bit better as well. I think I've evolved like that. I've evolved creatively, but that creatively, I've evolved as a person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more present. I'm much more happy to be alive and happy to be doing what I did versus a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What brought it out? What turned it around? What changed in your life, in your creative life, that brought the changes, do you think? What was the turning point?
I remember back like a few years ago, you know, sometimes I would be so down and I'd be like, I would be such in a dark place. I'd be like, I could just die even now. But there was always something so weird with life. It's like that. There was always something that like I couldn't give up for. There was always a gig happening in June. It's like, imagine I die before I go to Australia.
So God is giving you a lifeline. Yeah. It's like towards this.
And when I get to June, I'm like, okay, I've been to Australia. And then there'll be another one, like, oh yeah, you're going to the States. I'm like, I guess it would be a problem if I had to give up now when I've got a US tour. So it was always that. There's always been, as difficult as my life is, there's always been something to look forward to. And I've also just been really encouraged by people. Yeah. You know, like I remember, like this girl at Mabone, she just did this, like from her car. And I was going through a lot, just like I think when you're an artist and you make art, that's what changed. I started to see that people appreciate what I do and people wanna hear, and that's what the success of Mangaliso did. You know, the summer, you know, getting acknowledged in my own country by my own people, where my whole family can watch and see, and especially after the disappointments I had with the Summers the first time I was nominated for the Summers, just winning that Summer, I remember my speech was such a mess. So I was like, yeah, and I wanted to be like really calm and like
composed.
thank you
calm and collected.
Oh yeah, but I was the opposite. I even said I'm so happy.
Authentic. That was true for that moment. Wow.
But yeah, just like having like I just doing stuff you've always dreamt about. It really did mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And what relationship do you have with your fans? Like you were saying that this girl did that, yeah, and that just like really boosted you somehow.
Yeah.
What would you say your relationship is in terms of the kind of music that you now produce? Do you produce music that you feel your fans would respond to, or do you produce music based on where you're at as a creative at that, or in your life at that moment?
Yeah, I think audiences are smart, you know, are smarter. People know that the artist that they listen to is changing and growing and becoming a different person. And I do want that. That was actually my most concern. I wanted people, because there had been 5 years between the album, I wanted to know people, like to know that I've grown up, and like things that were priority to me like 5 years ago, I have maybe shifted. The relationship I have with my fans, they're really, I think, a lot of people, how can I put it? People text me and message me. I forgot my point, actually.
Because now things are so accessible because of social media, people can reach out to you. You have much more contact with your
yeah,
fans. So
yeah.
You actually feel like that, you can feel the connection so much more, I can imagine. And I think it's the great thing about these times in the age we live in. Thank goodness. In fact, it was because of social media that you and I bumped into each other in PE a few years ago, or a few years after the article that we did together. And even that moment was surreal because I had not ever thought about when we would meet in person when written the article.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, speaking of the article, there I had said that, having listened to Umlilo, which I still say is one of the greatest works, Banan, I foresaw that it would, your music would travel. I yeah. just felt like this is so relatable. And in our household, we could see how it's relatable even to the young kid, with the young kids and with us coming from different cultural groups, but still we could all relate to it.
Sure.
So I could see that you, it had potential to go places. And now, tell me, how has it been traveling? It looks like you're going everywhere.
Yeah, I am, you know. And which is what the great thing about, you know, really following your path. I never really imagined, like, this is beyond what my imagination of becoming a great musician was. I remember when I started off, I thought, like, I could be a musician. Like, maybe I'll get really lucky and play in Durban and Cape Town and, like, on a flight, like, big time.
Whoa. You had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And you asked earlier, you know, what made me take it seriously. I remember in 2010 was my first gig outside South Africa, and it was to London. It was around the World Cup. And 2010. And I remember that distinctly changed me. You know, I played alone and I got into the hall. I mean, I think some different countries receives music very differently. So I got into this place and just me and my guitar flew into South Africa to come and play. And then I remember, must have started with Izzat. As soon as I pressed the guitar, everybody like kept quiet. And I never experienced something like that sort of people paying you that much attention. And they really loved the show. And I remember, I think I'd gone maybe paid 10,000. It's like a lot of cash
back then. Enough to keep you in the industry, you will fight to stay a musician. Yes.
So on the flight back, I'm like, I've come to London, I've performed, I had a kick ass show. And I said, maybe you need to really take this seriously if your music can bring you here. But I had no idea that I would really see so many different places and my music would be listened to in so many different countries.
Japan, Australia.
France being the leading one, leading streams are France, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. So France has you have a soft spot.
Yes.
For France. And France has a soft spot for each other,
mutually.
If you could ever relocate, I mean, hypothetically, if you could ever relocate, would you then choose France?
Yeah.
Because you already feel at home there, musically speaking.
Yeah, definitely. You know, France has embraced my music. And, like, I remember I had won a long time ago the RFI Discovery Award, and I'd come second place in that. So there's always been, and also my first big show overseas was in Paris, so I've always had like a sort of, and also the French Institute in South Africa. Yes. You know, they took me on my first Southern African tour, which is Zimbabwe and like places like that. So I've always had support from the French.
Speaking of the French Institute in South Africa and how they took you on the Southern African tour, I was just, before you said that, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what the difference was between how you were embraced in South Africa compared to how you were embraced by the international world and also the continent at large. Was there any difference? Did you feel any difference?
I mean, this is a conversation we have. I mean, and it's not a black and white thing, I would say. I think South Africans and maybe Africans have their own, preference, I would say. I think South Africans love dance music. They love bass and they love drums in their music. And that's what really gets them excited. And which is great. I find that maybe in other places, they are or are used to maybe different kinds of music, things that are sometimes softer and gentler. So definitely seeing the world has exposed me that, you know, there's different places for music where maybe you might not really be appreciated or understood in one place, but the world is so big
and yet so small. We can reach the places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you never know, like, where, who's listening to your music and who's vibing with it. But also saying that South Africa, being heard in South Africa is important for me. I make music, like, I don't think I would make music in my own language.
And which I was going to say,
yeah,
it allows you that space to explore areas in your own language from a deeper place.
Definitely. And I spend so much time on the lyrics. That's actually the one part I spend time, because it's really music for and about, you know, where I come from, and for people, you know, that understand the life that I have lived. It's really like a South African kind of stories. Yeah,
it is. People can relate to that. Sure. But that's the interesting thing, is that even people who haven't lived those lives can still relate to that, because music is like that. It's so powerful, and vibrationally speaking, you can find resonance anywhere. So collaborations. Let's speak about collaborations.
Yeah.
I see that in the album Mangaliso, in Mangaliso, you did a collaboration with Spook.
Yeah.
Tell us, how did that come about?
You know, Spook was being managed by my manager at the time, and we had met and we had had a conversation. I knew that he was really doing well, especially in the international. And this was the very, like, maybe third time I had met him. And I just wanted to go and say, hi, I love your music, I listen to. And I think we spoke, it was supposed to be a 5-minute conversation. It turned out to like a whole like long conversation. And he said in that conversation, you know, if you need somebody to help you record, you must call me. And why I did that collaboration is because that day I really like related to Spook Matambo. I saw like his really warm and kind side, and that's the kind of person I really wanted to my album. And that's why I had asked him specifically to be the album, because I felt he understood what I was doing and he kind of respected what he was doing, and I knew that he could bring something really exciting to the song as well.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And at the time, was he still based in Sweden when you guys met, or had he already relocated?
I think so.
When traveling, which is what you do a lot, thank goodness, right? You are seen by default as a representative of South Africa, because you are South African and you represent South African music industry, or not industry, but the South African music. Now, in the diaspora, how do people receive you, especially as of late, as a result of what has been happening in South Africa with regards to xenophobia? How has that impacted your experience outside when you travel?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say much on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm not gonna say much about it, because it's something that like kind of breaks my heart in a way. You know, I'm for equality of all people, and especially all Africans. And it's really like something that I'm ashamed about. But in the same light, I don't think sometimes what people see on social media is a true
representation
of what you know my people are like. And
But I also imagine that you are traveling, of course, beyond just the African continent, and
sure,
you're going to, for instance, further fields like to Scandinavia, to events such as, you know, the Warmex Festival. Did you ever think that these things, that day would come where you would be partaking in such events?
Not really. Yeah, I remember just like also when I did travel a very little in to these festivals, and I'd be playing maybe at the acoustic stage, at the small stage. I would always just like watch these really big bands that are playing at these festivals, and like they're on tour, just like wondering what that life could be. It's so nice that, you know, that I could, you know, be a headline act for festivals now. I could be playing on main stage. And it's just like, yeah, like the power of manifestation, I think. I think inspiration is something important here.
And I'm sure the more you do, the more inspired you feel and the more you want to do, right?
Sometimes. So yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I've had enough.
Yeah, I know when you've been on the road, isn't that what this artist, I forget his name, says that you only miss home, you only hate the road when you're missing home, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We always imagine that being an artist who's traveling is so glamorous and so exciting and so fun, and you go from country to country to see all the sights. And we have this very amazing picture of it. Is it as amazing as what people imagine it to be?
Tour life is amazing. I don't want to, like, tour life is amazing. But like anything, you know, sometimes it's not so amazing. I think people forget the long hours that you would spend, like, in a flight for like traveling for 20 hours to play 45 minutes. and also, you know, the fact that I stay in South Africa, I'm very far away from sometimes festivals from here. So it does take a bit of an effort and try and make the logistics work. You know, I'm on this tour right now. And it's like, do I stay in Europe the whole tour, or like, do I go back? So there's a lot of things to kind of manage, and sometimes
logistics.
Yeah.
Sometimes can get a bit much, like you were saying earlier on. Yeah, I mean, I think it's still a very nice feeling to feel like, oh, I'm tired of this boring business, because it just means that life is good, that, you know, you're still having these opportunities and that you are progressing, and therefore it's quite okay to even feel that way, you know?
But I think people forget, like, you know, sometimes when you're on tour, life is not stopping, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you know, there's a lot of things you've left unfinished, and or people that you haven't connected with in a long time, and just relationships that sometimes suffer because you're away, and just like life is happening at the same time as you are on tour.
Have you had to sacrifice much for your craft?
And it wasn't a hard decision for me, because I knew that, you know, my music, I feel like I'm Nina Simone. The music comes first. She says that in an interview. My music has always come first.
Yeah.
And like, it's a calling. It's like that.
Yeah. The word calling. Yeah. And when it's a calling, you have to say yes. And once you've said yes, it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it keeps on calling.
Yeah.
Where do you see your next work coming from? What can we look forward to in terms of your next offering? What have you planned? Have you got anything planned?
Yeah, I've got an album coming out. This is the second journalist now. It's coming out February, and it's called Imini, double I.
Imini.
Yes.
Days.
Days. Yeah. And the reason for the name, it's because it's about relationships and love, and connecting, and the why I wrote this album like this, I started to notice how as we grow up, this need to find the right one and to be with the one, it's so consuming. And also I noticed that a lot of the times when my friends hang out, all we talk about those like 5 hours is like, no, it didn't work out with this one, but because, and now I'm going through this, and like relationships consume us. And I also think in a South African context, people are looking for the one and watching American movies and thinking, you know, this could be their lives. But I've always been like a true romantic. I grew up watching Days, which is even funny. I grew up watching Days, and I think subconsciously those ideas are really placed in my heart. And but I didn't want to just write about love as in like it's just beautiful love song, but I really wanted to get underneath what love reveals about ourselves. And definitely from my side, you know, personally, I wanted to write about all the things that have happened while trying to look for love and trying to find love, especially in Joburg, this hard city with so much exploitation and hardness, you know, trying to find something beautiful and a connection where people are so, you know, everything is like really fast. Yeah, fast relationships, fast interactions. But when you're looking for something meaningful, is it still relevant in this world? And I really love this album because I really think it's like kind of like a fresh debate, I think, or a fresh way of looking.
A new angle of looking at this thing called love.
Especially in Xhosa music, in that way. And the album had so much to say, I didn't realize. I was like, I need to write a side B. I never knew. I had so much. I love working on this album.
Yeah.
I think it's my best work, and the lyrics are, I find, so relatable. We've released Zange, which is the first single. And I think that is my favorite song, like, ever so far.
Why is that?
I just really love it. I really feel like, and that's the thing with music. Sometimes you make songs like, I don't really like it, but if you guys love it, I just like, I dance to it myself. And, like, I play it in my house. I'm like, this is a good song. And
if you say so yourself, yeah, even like, if you have to say so for yourself.
And it's a great feeling.
For sure.
Because, like, sometimes you take music out and you kind of like, I don't want people to hear it. But this one, I'm like, and I heard it at the garage in South Africa.
Nice one.
Oh, I heard it at the garage and it's playing in a taxi. So, and I love the lyrics. I love the lyrics. I love what the song is about. It's about how love can change you, and how, like, love is the healer. And it's Zange Ndaphinde Ndafana. I was never the same before I found love, and now I'm just a different person. And yeah, and it sounds like a maybe not so important message, but I think love is really the solution to a lot of our struggles. Yeah.
And I think it will always be relevant.
Yeah.
It will always be relevant. You said that you're exploring the themes of finding meaning, connection, and love in this album. And I was thinking to myself, but I think you've been exploring that theme even from the original album.
Debut. People think so.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure it's not deliberate.
Yeah, I'm like, this is my first love. People are like, you're always writing love songs.
Mangaliso is a love song, a divine.
I mean, that's a funny story about that song.
I'll
tell you this, and I don't want to reveal too much, but I had written the song about somebody, but it didn't work out. But I had heard the melody that in the one Mangaliso kutala, and then I started to think, I don't want to write the song about this person because it's just like it's gone sour. But do I really lose my whole song that I thought was so powerful? So I started to write the whole song about me as a musician, that in the Bono Mangale, so me finally, you know, performing in different countries, and finally, and that's that in the Bono Kutala Ndikulindile, the dream, Kutala Ndikulindile, the dream, Namhlanje ude wafika Mangale, so that in the Bono Mangale. And I usually connect with it when I'm playing for fans, and I usually like direct that in the Warner Mangaliso, people singing along.
So that's it. So you needed to make it, you needed to be able to connect to the song in order for you to be able to share it
and change it. But it's not a love song.
It felt like a love song because it was meant to have been a love song
originally.
That's so interesting. That means that the love quality remained in it. Changed the angle of looking at it.
I forget. Yeah, and also the one love song I had wrote, which is also a song I one of my favorite songs from the first album, is Wandenzani Na.
Yeah, when you're Mandiakolo.
Yeah, that is a love song.
Yes. Yeah. But that's a love song that's a bit melancholic, you know.
Yeah, this album is like that. It's not all beautiful.
It's quite peachy.
Yeah, it's quite angry. There's like a song about a fight.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Even the fight can be expressed in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm very, very excited to look forward. So it's
February. And we have a single also, which is called Kangela.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about it's a personal song. And it's all about like all the mistakes that I've made while looking for love. And I'm playing it at my show on this tour. Nice. So,
nice.
Yeah.
There's a lot to look forward to. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah.
Where do you draw your inspiration from?
I draw my inspiration from my life a lot. I try and look for things that mean something to me, you know. Whether it's sometimes you don't know. Like with this album, I was like, I wanted to write about racism and race and really inspired by guys like Kendrick Lamar and Solange. The reason I ran away from that was like I felt for me at that time to write that album, I would need to educate myself
first.
Yeah, and really make decisions. And it became like an overwhelming album to write, and I started to fall in love, and then that's how the album, this new album Imini, came. And the Imini, it's done from the first song is about when two people meet, and that's why it's called Imini. It's about the date when two people meet, and then the next song will jump, you know, the first time you have your first kiss, and then the next song when you've really fallen in love, and then the next song is when things starts to get overwhelming. The third song there's like, and then the end it's like the last song's like you laugh.
The last song is—it keeps on building and building and building, and then the last song is.
The last song is like, it's the beginning to the end.
Exactly, yeah. It just finishes.
No, not just finishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's distrust. There's
jealousy. Stages.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get it. Yeah, all the stages of it.
All the seven stages.
And also even the stage of, I don't want you. I want you again. No, I don't want you again. So I wanted to give people a real perspective of how relationships can be so beautiful in the beginning, but also challenging and revealing and hard and difficult.
Yeah. And what challenges you as a musician creatively? Like, how do you challenge yourself? What do you do build, to improve on your craft?
Oh, what do I do? I spend a lot of hours sometimes practicing guitar, which is like also in this busy schedule, it's hard to like, okay, I'm gonna take 2 hours out, and and it's like it's a hard thing to delegate myself to every day. That's probably the hardest thing I do, but also like I find like social media very hard.
Yeah.
And definitely I think being a musician and meeting a lot of people, I don't know, I can be a very sensitive person, so like on the road meeting so many people and working with so many people and understanding different personalities, It can be challenging. Yeah.
And what keeps you grounded?
What keeps me grounded? I think definitely, and you would know about this, like I have been through a lot, especially with my music, and I face like, you know, being looked down on and not being acknowledged, and so I think remembering that has always stayed with me, I relate to people's pain, not just my own. And I've always been compassionate, and I've always been grounded. I think, yeah, it's just who I am, I think, yeah.
Yes. And I think it's what's reflected in all your albums and all your music. There's that kind of, one can tell that you have lived and experienced pain, and pain is, it is said that pain is what connects people. Yeah. We always think that it's just love that connects people, but pain connects people.
Never thought about it.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So, as an artist, do you find then that you use, like Dr. Connell West was saying, that, you know, personal catastrophe expressed lyrically? Do you use your pain to feed your craft?
Yeah, definitely. That's how I've always viewed music. Like, and definitely I remember hearing Tracy Chapman for the first time. I really was like, wow, this is how I've always felt about just even the feeling of it. But I never knew you could talk about, because I was used to listening to music about being happy, being excited, being like, and I never knew that you could actually sing about, you could things about the inward world. And when once I heard that, I was like, This is what I want to do. But definitely, how can I put it? I am sort of a sad person. I don't know, and maybe some people like that dark depression people have said, and and that's my reality, and that's why maybe my music sounds the way it does. But I'm not just sad. I just want to tell people. I have extreme. I think I'm those people, like extreme highs and very low lows. But it's also sometimes not even a sadness, but more an introspection of life.
Yes.
I wouldn't say maybe sadness is not the way. I'm more serious. If that's the way to, I'm more like, and I feel a lot, like,
And perhaps that's what makes us feel a lot when we listen to music, because we open up to that.
Yeah.
So now, what your aspirations when you started in the music industry, how have they changed? Have they changed? What do you aspire to now that you are becoming more seasoned?
Oh, that I didn't aspire to.
What has changed?
I used to be like, like a goal person, I got to achieve this and that and this by then, by this. Now it's weird, a lot of the dreams I had when I was young, I've kind of have achieved them. So now it's more, I really want to be happy, and I really want to find like the right confidence, and just really understand this, that I think for many years I thought, once I'm a great musician, I'm gonna feel whole, but now I understand that I do want to just feel whole and love myself as a human being without any accomplishments or anything. I think what people don't know about me is that I call it mental health, but fixing the inward is just as important for me as getting rich. I've always like wanted to work on myself and better myself.
And that journey is ongoing, it never ends.
Yeah. And it's in the CDs, I think.
I was gonna say, and it's in your music. Does your music reflect that growth, that journey?
Yeah.
Which will, that means you will continue to make music. You see yourself making music.
Yeah. Wow. I've always been asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my music. Why are we here? Is there a God? What is love? How do you find love? And I think it's topics that everyone thinks about. But what's the saying? Lyric words when words fail.
Music speaks.
Yeah. Yes.
I heard Tina Turner say that once in one
of her
Buddhist videos. I mean, offerings. Yes, when words fail, music speaks. So finally, what is music to you?
I've also heard that music is the soundtrack of life. And I really get that now. I really get that. Sometimes you want to have a beautiful moment in your ordinary world, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And music can do that. I noticed, like, sometimes, like, how, yeah. When was I listening to something Soweto? And the music was just making me cry so much. And it's that, it's that, it's like an escapism into our reality, that music makes the colors just seem better, and things that didn't seem important, and yeah.
Things come alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Way.
And exactly what they do for music in movies, where they put music in movies, if you know what I mean.
Yes. To make, brings life.
Yeah, to make this moment bigger and more significant, and for you to see it differently. I think music does the same to life. It takes you away, and I think to a spiritual place even. It takes you away from a reality, and yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Whoa, I'm spellbound because I was transported. Like, as you're describing it, I know that's what it does.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to experience it tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Longezi Mabandla, singer songwriter from South Africa.
And before I leave, I was just explaining to another journalist, it's like, it's not always easy to open up to any journalist. I've had experiences like that. So it really is also about the energy somebody brings to like the interview. When I read it, I read it like I was reading about somebody else. And it's really like, I've always enjoyed talking to you. So yeah, I'm so happy you came to see my show.
This is Bongezwe Mabandla speaking. He's referring to an article I wrote about him some years ago after he had released his first album, Umlilo. Now, of course, the third one is on the way. We're very much looking forward to it. And we seem to all have come a long way, both literally and figuratively. Both Bongezwe and I happen to have been born in the same small town called Kutsolo. Incidentally, that's also where the current Miss Universe is from. Well, we thought we had reached the tail end of our interview, our conversation, but somehow we couldn't resist continuing with the goodness. So here's a little bit more, an extra added bonus of the conversation with Bongezwe Mabandla.
I mean, school was just 3 years, and I did definitely felt the inferiority complex coming from like rural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have given you a backbone. People who come from a rural background, it gives me a backbone.
Really?
Oh my goodness. I think that's the thing that roots. It's like I get rooted by it. That's what I'm proud of. But of course, I think if it was in South Africa, I might not be as proud of
Yeah. And I've heard that, what you're saying, that people like you even have more. But definitely, you know, being in the same class with kids from Soweto, some of them who've been like in the industry, like, well, my uncle is Huma Sigela, or like
exposure,
or Joe Mafela's son. Like, you do feel like, I did feel like, definitely, maybe I don't know so much about things. Yes. Yeah.
But how did you get to a place where you started feeling a little bit more secure about your place in the industry and your space in that whole environment as a musician?
Yeah, I mean, like, just growing up from where Kutsolo, you know, I've had, like, I think when you come from a real place, you understand that things don't come easily. So I had, like, I've always had it, no matter what I've been doing, I've always had a certain very determined kind of a person. And like, I remember my first job I ever got wasn't doing a Coca-Cola ad in Cape Town. But how I got that Coca-Cola ad is, like, I spent like 2 weeks looking for an agent all over Cape Town, literally looking for an agent. I don't know why I don't know why I thought, like, I'm going to get an agent and I'm going to get work. It's just a December job.
Yeah, when you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, and very naive.
You expect things to work out.
Yeah.
But that's a nice approach because you try things.
Yeah.
At least, you yeah. know? So did it work out?
Yeah, I thought it would. I did. And it's so weird. I actually thought, like, and that advert, like, paid so much of my, some of my school fees that after.
Incredible.
But, like, it's just like I've always, even when I got to Joburg, I was like, I don't know. I think also it comes from growing up in a rural place
yeah.
where there's no toys or internet. Everything you have to, like, okay.
Imagination.
And make it, or maybe
yeah,
make it yourself.
So you have to create it.
Yes, you have to find a way over obstacles. And I was like that. I was like, I'm going to find an agent. I don't know where this kind of self-belief, which is what I really love. And that's why I said sometimes I want to cry when I listen to Umlilo. Mm. Because the old me, then I was so hectic, if you know what I mean. You couldn't mess up my sound. I had this thing.
We were
my
very,
sound.
Like, hardcore about everything.
My sound. And I thought I knew who I was. And I was, I think it's innocence can also make you like that. And that's why I was able to tell my old record label, you guys exploiting me, I'm out. Things that would take so much
yeah.
more effort now. Now that I'm older, yeah. I would do them so much easier. And I had a sense of belief in myself, even though it was knocked down. But yeah,
yeah.
I think it got knocked down later.
Yes,
yeah.
But the thing is, it never left.
Yeah.
A little bit of it remained.
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to? Is this how your mom raised
and
you?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
is it how she raised you? Where do you think it comes from? You've never actually maybe thought about it. You just know it's there.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I don't know. I've always... And, like, as much as I'm saying, like, I've always believed in myself, I'm also a very insecure person at the same time.
And nature artists are.
Yeah. I'm also very insecure. But, I don't know. I was always just, like... I remember also when I came to Joburg, somebody said, you're going to go to Joburg? There's so many people who... are trying out to be artists. They all want the same thing. What makes you think they're gonna pick you?
Mm.
And I remember, like, thinking, actually, but, like, I just thought, like,
why wouldn't they
pick yeah you? I was like, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Good for you.
Because I think it's that calling, because I knew, like, I was definitely not gonna be a doctor, or I didn't have a lot of options as well, by what I had studied and what going to an art school, I didn't have maths, I couldn't become a doctor, so until it became like art was the only thing. Yeah.
And it wasn't just music, like you had said earlier on that you were interested in painting and everything,
yeah.
but acting is what catapulted you into a world of being in the limelight, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I hated it so quickly, though. I don't know why. It's like, I don't know, I just, like, it's like we were saying, it's not expressive enough. You never really do your own work. And I remember going to maybe like the 150 audition in Joburg and, like, thinking, actually, people are gonna miss that I have a talent, because, like, I'm never getting scripts that gets to take me to that place. Then I started, like, thinking, oh, with music, do my own thing, put it the way I want to.
Write your
yeah.
work.
And, like, make it as deep as I want
oh
to. There's no holding
goodness.
Back.
Yes,
like,
you've got carte blanche. You go wild. You go all out, right?
Yeah.
So you're in the right industry. You're in the right craft. Would you ever go back to acting?
I don't know. Maybe Steven Spielberg.
Yeah,
the right.
Up,
yeah,
right?
The right
something
thing. Yeah.
The right
yeah.
thing came up. So you allow yourself those options, and would you explore the other artistic endeavors that you were speaking about, like painting?
I've been thinking a lot. That's also something I've been thinking. I don't want to, like, it's either now in my life I'm gonna be a musician and just a musician for the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering if. My mom's always like, coaching and
you know. Hey, look at logo, because there's lots in you.
Yeah. Like, but she also thinks, I think my mom has seen that a lot of artists, like, sometimes they focus on being a musician, and when it goes pear-shaped, they have, now,
they
only then, yeah. So she's always telling me, coaching and you know. And my mom is very wise, and I've been neglecting it, but I don't want to just be a musician. And I like to work by myself. So I wanted to do some films, maybe.
Yeah.
Direct some films. But I thought, whoa, that's a big crew. So.
Yeah, but it's worth exploring that.
I do. But I think painting is going to be, like, I also really enjoy being by myself. And because of just the way I grew up.
Because you were an only child,
I have an older brother, but we didn't grow up together, basically. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I did feel like an only child, but I'm not.
But solitude was always a friend for you. Like, you like solitude.
And I love people.
Isn't it great? I like solitude. I love solitude, but I also love people. Yeah. So I think both belong. They're not mutually exclusive. Sure. And both of them give you two different things and two different feelings. So what has been your proudest moment in your career?
Proudest moment. It's easy. Oh, winning the South African. It was. And I like explained for obvious reasons. I wanted my family. I remember the conversation I had with my mother. She was like, boy, because I took my mom to the first time I was nominated and I thought I was going to win. And my mom was there and she had to console me afterwards.
Goodness, she was there. Yeah.
But she said, yeah, I did. But you know, that's really sometimes things that feel like failure, sometimes an opportunity. I think also had I won the summer, I would have gone back and be like, I'm a great musician, and I would have maybe like relaxed into how much work I put in. But definitely not, you know, all those failures, a lot of my failures, they really push me forward. I'm like that. Yeah, they do. Every time something doesn't work out for me, I'm quite like okay, cool, but I'm pushed more.
So you pretty much have to be grateful for them, you know, maybe in retrospect. Yes. You can say, I'm grateful that this thing didn't work out and that thing didn't work out because of the result, then I could do something else. But when it's happening, probably doesn't feel like you are grateful. I think you're in a good place. Do you feel in a good place?
I am. I'm really like happy.
Yeah.
And with happiness comes its own new problems as well. Yeah, and I'm learning more about myself. What I like about this stage of my life is I'm really asking myself about happiness, you know.
Yes.
What makes me happy? And a lot of us think that, I notice, we want to be happy and we think this certain thing will. And that's what I've discovered from chasing my dreams, that sometimes things that you really want don't really always bring you the joy, or don't always feel like how you see them. Yeah. So these days I really, I do ask myself,
you're paying attention.
What do I like? What brings me joy? Yes. And it's sometimes like a clean place gives me a lot of joy. It's like sometimes small things, you know.
You must be overjoyed with being in this year, as clean as it is.
And sunshine makes me happy.
Oh yeah, well, it does. I think it's so important.
Yeah. And you discover, you discover like sometimes things that you've always wanted are so simple.
Oh man, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy you are here in terms of like physically here, but also emotionally and spiritually and creative and all of that. And I can't wait to see what you bring out next. That's the thing about artists. It's like as soon as you've done something, we're already asking you, so what's the next thing?
It's here though, it's here. I love working on this album. So creative. And also what I think is reflected, this is the first album that didn't have to worry like, where am I going to record? Will I have money to go back home? Have I got food? It was like really just like effortless. I didn't have to ask. This is also the first record I recorded with a record label.
Yes.
The other ones I've sort of done it without. It's been like a hustle. And I think it's reflecting it effective in the music. I recorded most of the vocals in Maputo. I just had like so much creative and freedom and support And I think when you hear it, you're going to hear the album. Really like my voice on the album.
Yeah, and you were saying you're more experimental.
Very experimental. I should actually show you some videos of us, like, playing with cups, recording cups.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I don't want to spoil too much of my album. But, yeah, recording the rain, recording cups, recording my mom on the phone for my album. Using cell phones for recordings, recording outside, kneeling on the floor. It's just so much stuff, and I really got a kick out of it from Diago. I really like. I was like, it's so much fun that I like. It's so hard when it releases because I feel like I'm letting go of such a beautiful part of myself. I love this album. I love the content, and I really love mostly making it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I think that's fantastic.
I can't wait for you to hear.
I can't wait to hear it. I was gonna say, usually people ask about this, like, what would you say to aspiring musicians? I know it sounds like a very, you know, cliched question, but the thing is that I do actually want to know, like, what have you actually learned? What have the key elements been that have brought you to where you are? The negative and the positive.
Okay. Yeah. What would I say? I think one thing that's important to if you're gonna be a musician, you've really gotta feel like what you're doing is good. I don't know if it makes sense, because if you have that doubt, the industry will basically swallow you. You have to really have a real good sense of who you are and what you're doing. Because if you don't feel like what you're doing, and I don't mean you must be arrogant and think it's the best thing, but you have to have a sense of understanding of what you are bringing to people. Yeah. Yeah, the value. Because people will try and take that value or exploit it or change it. So it's really important to know what you bring. Yeah. And to respect that and to treat it like, you know. Yeah.
And what has been the biggest contributor to the success thus far? Is it like having all the different components that you need in place? Has it been having good management? Has it been growing up? Has it been having suffered? What has it been? What would you say has contributed to this current success? Yeah.
I think for me, it could be a couple of things, but I'm going to put these ones. You know, like having the right attitude for people, because this is an industry about people. I think I've had people, you know, who've given me a chance because they just like who I am. And it's so important. And
we need that.
Yeah. Like being respectful, being kind, being treating people like the way you want to be treated. People, they see through that. And sometimes people want to align with you just because of that. The talent, though, must be there. It hasn't been all because I'm a nice person.
That just wouldn't cut it. No, that wouldn't be enough. Yes.
I'm giving the wrong impression.
You're gonna bring some talent to the table. Yeah.
Yeah. And good management. I have a very strong manager. Mm-hmm. She's female, and she's very tough. I've really needed somebody to say, you know, you need to polish on that. You need to do more of this, do less of this, turn this around. And she's really like been able to take my music from like a really difficult place to where it's manageable and I can afford my life and
you can enjoy your craft.
Can live like a superstar. <I'm kidding. laughs>
Everything's come together. It's consolidated. Yeah. I'm so very happy for you. Thank you again for the time and thank you for talking to us.
What a truly amazing human being and incredibly talented artist. Do follow us on Instagram and Facebook at I&M Podcast. You can also find us on YouTube. There are some videos there now, and also there will be in the future. In fact, this one was filmed. So do look us up there on YouTube and see what you can find. Subscribe also to this podcast wherever you can listen to podcasts from, so you don't always have to go and look for the new episodes whenever they come out. So if you subscribe, you have a chance of getting it immediately as soon as it's out. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and pretty much everywhere. So whatever works for you, we're probably there. If you want to do that, you can also access us on our website, www.iandam.com. The next episode is coming in 2 weeks' time, as always, and we shall have some fascinating guests, as always. Until then, peace and richest blessings. Take care.